Welcome to the Lizzian Events podcast, and today we have a wonderful guest, a friend of 20 years long standing, Mr. Peter Wall. Good afternoon, Peter.
Good afternoon, Ian. Are you all right?
I most certainly am. As you know, I've always got a smile on my face, Peter.
Yeah.
Good. And are you and I well?
Yes. Obviously, we're in self-isolation for about 12 weeks, but we're doing quite well. We've got family and friends around us that are looking after us, so we're okay.
Brilliant. So there'll be a lot of happy people because you're in lockdown for 12 weeks, and there'll be a lot of unhappy people as well, so the balance is there. Great. Peter, many, many people meet you at the shows, and many people have met you over all of the years that you've worked in your hypnosis, past life regression, but, you know, not many people know a great deal about that really interesting life of yours. I'm sure the listener would be very interested to know a little bit about how you got to where you are today, my friend. So, Peter, your personal life, you've had done some quite interesting things. What was your first things that you did during your life? Where did your career start? You told me once that you actually was a man who worked in a mine, Peter.
Oof. The thing about my life, my working life, especially when I first left school, is I tried lots of different jobs. What I found is I couldn't find a job that would hold my concentration for very long. So I've basically done everything you can possibly think of. I've probably had a go at it at some stage in my life. And you're quite right, I did work down the mines for 4.5 years. I've worked in a bottle factory, sorting bottles out. I did that for about 4 years. I've been in sales. I did that for a number of years. The thing about the sales was I could move from different genres to genres, you know, like selling double glazing to selling toilet rolls, you know, to selling insurance. And so once I got bored with selling one product, I could move on to another. So that wasn't too bad. I became a qualified bricklayer. Did that for a bit, got bored with that, became a welder, did that, but that was affecting my eyes, I had to pack that in. I've done lots and lots of different jobs.
So with all these different types of jobs, you've really been able to deal with many, many different types of people. And I remember once you said probably one of the best assets that you've ever had, Peter, is the fact that you've just worked with everybody from people who are on the shop floor to literally knights of the realm and lords and peers. So your cornucopia of people that you work with really have become a great asset in your professional world, I suppose.
Yeah, that's true. Some of the other things that my wife and I have done, we set up our own corporate hospitality business. I was in the armed forces for a while, and during that time, I became the a mess manager in the sergeant's mess. So I had to meet and greet lots of people. Part of that during my training for that is we had to run and organise a royal function. So I've worked on two of those in my life. So I've been in royalty twice, met the Queen twice, things like this. So I have met a big diversity of people with the corporate hospitality. Obviously, we were going into big companies, speaking to the directors and CEOs of big, large companies. There were celebrities involved in these things as well, so I had to deal with celebrities, and that can be quite challenging sometimes. I've met a diversity of people throughout my life. And like you said, I think becoming a hypnotherapist, all of those life experiences that I've had, has really helped me in understanding and having a lot of empathy with the clients that come and see me, because I've probably gone through most of what they've gone through anyway in my life.
So, Peter, how did you become involved in hypnotherapy?
It started a long time ago. I was at a show in Ilkley, and I met a really nice chap there called Brian Glenn, who turned out to be had his own hypnotherapy school. And hypnosis and how the mind works has always fascinated me since being a child. And so after a conversation with him, I actually signed up onto his course, which was in 2000. And a year later, I qualified as a clinical hypnotherapist. And as you said, I started working, doing the shows. One of the things I specialized in was past life regression, because that was a passion of mine as well. And then eventually what I did is I set up my own clinic, which was quite successful. And I ran that for a number of years. And then as I got older, I decided I would retire when I got to 65, but that's not happened. I'm still working away. I just find hypnosis side of it is just too fascinating to walk away from, basically.
The first time I became very interested in hypnosis and your work was when we were talking once about past life regression, and you had become, no doubt within my mind, the country's foremost past life regressionist. I mean, you appeared on radio, television, all sorts of different media talking about your work. And frankly, I think I may say you just got bored with it. I think you just worked with so many people for so many years, you needed to take your skills elsewhere. The people that know Peter from his past life regression work may not know that he also ran a very successful private clinic. Pete was always working weekly with clients of all different problems. And also he became and took on board one of the first hypnoband franchises, and you did immensely well. Do you think you did so well because of your experience of hypnosis, the years of experience, Peter, with hypnoband?
Probably so, yes. As you said, the clinic was very successful. It became very well known. And I had people travelling from all four corners of Britain to come and see me, from Scotland down to London, coming up to see me and things like that. So, yeah, when I heard, I was looking for, I'm always looking for new ways of helping my clients. And, of course, when Hypnoband first appeared in the UK, it sparked my interest straight away, and I managed to contact the guy that created it, John McLean. And as you said, he allowed me to take on a franchise and start running the Hypnoband, which I used and I still use today, and teach all my students how to use it as well. So it is a very, very successful way of losing weight, yes.
So, Peter, we've now got this picture built up of a man with a broad spectrum of experience who becomes a hypnotist, and the future evolves into teaching. You can absolutely verify your ability to teach and to demonstrate to people the whole of what is involved with becoming a clinical hypnotherapist because of this experience.
People were saying to me, you have all these years of experience and all this knowledge. Why aren't you sharing it with other people? And so that's when I formulated the course, the Inner Light Hypnotherapy training course. And that took some time to put that together, because as you know, it's not easy to put these kind of things together. So, so I put it all together and started teaching. And again, that's been quite successful as well.
Now, I want to get something quite clear to the listener here. There is a very important accreditation that goes along with your courses. Could you explain what that accreditation is, Peter?
So when I came to put the course together, obviously I wanted it to be accredited. Because without an accreditation, no matter what kind of course you go in, if it's not accredited, you just cannot get public liability insurance, which obviously everybody needs. And so when I put the course together, I went and spoke to Ray Freeman, who runs the National Council of Psychotherapy. We went through the coursework and everything else, and he agreed that it was okay and everything was good. And so that's how it became accredited. So course that I run is fully accredited by the National Council of Psychotherapy. So there's no problems there.
Good. So next stage we're going to go to is this. The lockdown, the virus, actually has enforced or forced you into making a decision, something that you've been talking about for the last year or so, and you have worked diligently to put together an online course, but you came across a hurdle when you took it to the council for accreditation, didn't you?
When I started up running my courses on a one-to-one basis, there was quite a few people interested in coming on the course, but obviously when I'm training, some of the weekends these people couldn't do because they were like coming to the Mind, Body and Spirit fairs and exhibiting and what have you. So they were always asking me if I'd do a downloadable course. And I always had this thing about downloadable courses because they're not accredited. So usually the accreditation people won't accredit a downloadable course because it's not on a one-to-one basis. So it always put me off a little bit. But obviously now in the situation we're in, I've changed my mind and I'm thinking, right, well, more and more people are doing things online now. And so maybe this is something I should look at. And so just before we obviously got into all the lockdown and everything else, I'd put some of it together. I then went to see Ray Freeman of the National Council of Psychotherapy to see if they would have accredited it. And the first thing he said was, is it a downloadable course? No. But then what I did is I showed him how I'm doing it. And during my research, what I found was that some people who are doing downloadable courses, it's either all written work or it's all video-based. And so what I decided to do was to try and do it as if we're in a classroom situation, i.e. as if I was teaching it one-to-one. So all the coursework is still there, exactly the same coursework I use on my course. But what I'm doing now is I'm filming myself talking about each section of the modules. So there are several small videos of me actually talking about explaining, you know, the words and terminology and what it is. And so when I showed Ray this, all this, and he just went, oh, well, that's totally different. And so what he's done now, he has now accredited my downloadable course. So because I've said it's going to go online, so it's going to be open to the world as well, not just to England. So it's not only accredited by the National Council of Psychotherapy, but it's also accredited by the International Council of Psychotherapy as well. So that would cover the rest of the world.
So let's talk about the course itself. I like the idea that it's in chunks. So you go to perhaps module one, module two, module three, whatever the modules are. And I suppose there is one advantage of when you're watching each section of the module, if you don't get something, you can go back and re-listen to it and re-listen to it as many times as you like before you go on to the next stage. So to some degree, somebody who really works at the online course, they can get just as much or if not more than they normally would in a room, say, of 10 or 12 people. I'm not demeaning your teaching ability, but on a one-to-one basis, this could have a distinct advantage, Peter.
The way I've set it up as well is you can't just jump into any old course. You have to start with module one. You cannot go to module two until you've completed module one. And at the end of most of the modules, there's a face test that you have to do. And obviously that's a point based. So you have to get the points before the system will allow you to move on to the next course. So I didn't want people just jumping in and out of the course wherever they wanted, because that way they'll not understand it fully.
So that's to everybody's advantage who takes the course, so that they can learn in their own time. And once they've got the amount of points to buy the next module or to go to the next module, they've got a rock solid platform of learning to move on.
And also they've got, I've made sure that they all have my information as well. So if any part of the course they don't understand, they're quite welcome to email me. Or contact me and I will go through it with them and explain it in more detail if that's necessary.
Good. So the course itself, I know that there's still an awful amount of work to do before you've actually got it to running. And I know you're going to extensively test it with people. I know that you're already doing tests already to check out the quality and the learning messages to make sure they're clear. But when the course goes out, will somebody have to, this might sound like a strange question, but somebody will obviously have to complete every module and pass the tests for every module before being able to get their accredited certificate. And I'm assuming that it may well be that they'll have to come back and have top-ups to just verify that they're keeping up to standard.
Right, with the course, yes, you're quite right. They have to pass each test to move on to the next. So there are 10 modules involved. Okay, so in module 10, there's a final exam to complete on that one. Once they complete all that, then they do get their diploma. Then after that, as with a normal hypnotherapy training, they have to do continuous progressive training. So there are I will encourage them to go and do other things with other people. Yeah, just the same as I do. So learning, because obviously things are moving at a rapid rate at the moment in the world of hypnosis, and there's new techniques coming out all the time. So obviously when I find a new technique, that will be updated into my downloadable course, as well as on my one-to-one teaching as well. So I'm trying to keep it always up to date with all the modern techniques that are out there at the moment.
Peter, it's a very competitive world, so and evidence of good qualifications is essential to anybody contemplating working in this field.
Yeah.
And there are many opportunities. One shouldn't just think it's stopping smoking, because in fairness, as smoking has gone lower and lower and lower. I mean, maybe we'll be into a situation where we start stopping people vaping next. But there are plenty of avenues. You could become a specialist in business hypnosis, where you're teaching salesmen to overcome lacking confidence, or perhaps a fear of cold calling. You could work with somebody who has a fear of flying. You can have a work with people who have fear of driving or passenger in a car. You shouldn't just think about phobias. There is so many different ways that hypnosis can help with people, and enhancing people's confidence is one of the greatest things that you can do, and it has a massive calling. There's a lot of people who have lacking confidence, Peter. So you should really be aware that hypnosis has got many avenues of exploration for one to prosper.
It's just not also about helping other people. It's about self-development as well. So the students that have been on my course, some of the feedback I get from them is completely changed the way that they think and the way that they feel now. One of my students who has two young children says, I speak to my children in a different way now because of my teachings of what I've taught them. And she said it's just changed her life completely because of the way she speaks to her children. They're no longer, you know, causing mayhem, and they get up in the morning wanting to go to school and things like that, whereas before she was having to, you know, sort of like drag them out of bed kind of a thing. So it's not, you know, what I'm trying to say is, of course, it's not just about helping other people, which is a big part of it, but it's also about your own self-development as well. You know, I mean, when I first met you all those years ago, I was quite a shy person. And being on the hypnotherapy course, when I went on it, it completely changed me. It changed the way I thought and the way I think about things. And it brought me out of my shell and changed me completely. And so there's a lot of self-development, you know, in both of the courses, the one-to-one and the downloadable. So it's not all about just helping other people, but it's a lot about self-development as well.
And the other great thing about learning the techniques of hypnosis is the fact that people can actually learn to observe those around them, and one gets a very good understanding of people and their actions and the reason that they do things as well. So that also is a tremendous asset to have when you are fully trained as a hypnotist.
This is true. People say to me, I've noticed you like looking at people. You're always staring at people. I said, well, I'm a people watcher, because I'm looking at their body languages and their language patterns and things like that. And it's all from my training, you know. So you can glean a lot from people just by looking at them, the way that they sit, the way that they hold their frame, the way that they speak. You can learn quite a lot about people from that. And this is something I teach as well on the course, all about body language and things like this.
Yeah, because rapport is very much part of hypnotic technique. It's a very powerful part of it.
Yeah, without rapport, you'll never achieve hypnosis without rapport. And so it's the biggest part, the biggest key to hypnosis is rapport. You have to build that rapport with your client. Otherwise, they won't allow you to hypnotize them. And so some people believe that you can just go up and hypnotize anybody, and that's just not true.
Good. So, Peter, let's just have a little idea of what's involved. How long would you recommend somebody to take with the course? Because there will be people who are interested and they rush in, go too fast and don't take on board the information involved. How long would you expect somebody to take on your online course, Peter?
Well, it's with any form of learning. If you just, what I call coma, read it. So if you just go la-da-da-da-da-da, you just read, and you're not absorbing it, then when you do, you know, pass, you're going to be stuck the first time a client comes to you and they with a particular problem, and you're going, oh my God, I can't remember what that was now. Yeah. And so what I do is on my downloadable course, especially because on a one-to-one basis, I can make sure that everybody understands everything, is give yourself the time. There's no time limit. Okay. So I haven't done it in such a way like you've got 10 minutes to learn this, you've got 5 minutes to do that. There is no time limit. So spend as long as you need on each module so that you completely and utterly understand it. If you rush through this thing really quick, then you're not doing yourself any favors whatsoever. You just basically wasted your time and your money. And so my advice would be, make sure you fully understand the module that you're on before you move to the next one.
So what you're saying is learn fast, slowly.
I like that. Yeah. Slowly, I knew you. Learn fast.
Learn fast, slowly. Oh, well, yeah. Yes. Fast, so
yeah.
It would be fair if somebody really wanted to be careful about their work and to get the very best from it, they could comfortably do it 8 months to a year, do you think, Peter?
Yes. Well, I mean, when I teach one-to-one, obviously my modules are a month apart. So there are 10 modules, that's 10 months. Now, when I'm teaching one-to-one, I have a diversity of people in front of me. So some people can absorb information quite quickly and retain it, and some people take time to absorb the information. So I have to work to my slowest client, yeah, to my slowest student. Whereas on the downloadable course, if you're a slow learner, then you can take that time. If you're a fast learner, you can do it quicker. Okay? And so when we say, you know, would they be able to complete it in 8 months, 10 months, it just depends what kind of a learner you are and how long you want to give that time to it.
So in a way, if you wanted to complete the course in 6 months, even if you were a slow learner, you could easily do that because you could go over one of the modules two or three times. And that is something that you cannot do in a classroom because you have to progress and keep on moving. There's no, you can't put the brakes on. But if you are if for example, you were doing section three of module one, you could go over that four or five times. And if it's only an hour, it's really only 4 hours of re-looking at the whole of the modules. And of course, if later on you need to revisit something that you've forgotten, you can always go back and re-look at it again. So, which is something you can't do in a classroom. It's very, very difficult when you're in a lecture room to say, oh, hello, Mr. Lecturer, you told in module one, section three, 3 months ago, you were saying about this. Not even the lecturer would be able to recount what he had said. So the online course does have some quite good potential and some nice options.
Yeah. And I'm hoping the way that I've done it and the way that I've built it, it's very user-friendly. Obviously, there's videos of me talking about each section of the module. So, you know, really explaining how, as I said, you know, about the terminology of it and how it works and how it's in conjunction with the other thing that we've just learned, you know, so it all leads into one leads into the other. So it's just a proper classroom-based teaching, which is, you know, I find the exciting part.
So you could actually download the course, put it onto your phone or onto your iPad, and you could take it on holiday with you and sit by the beach That's and right. look at Uncle yeah. Peter.
It's done so that you can have it on a computer, an iPad, or your phone.
Fantastic. Now, the difficult question. Are you ready for it?
Oh.
What about the guinea pigs, the people you're going to try the workout on during the course? How do you go? Do you hypnotize your wife and husband or your daughter and son? What do you do?
Well, it's basically the same with my students. I tell them, you know, the biggest success to a hypnotherapist is practice, practice, practice. And so I encourage them to go and practice with their family, with their friends, okay? Because the more you practice, the more confident you become with the skills that you're learning. And without practice, you don't get the confidence. And it's the same with the downloadable course. You know, there's big words on at the end of module one. It goes, practice, practice, practice. Practice makes the best hypnotherapist.
Good.
Okay, so again, what I've done with the course is I've created some easy-to-follow scripts. Because obviously, you know, most people haven't hypnotized anybody before, so they're not sure what to do. So I've given them some easy to follow scripts. So if you can read and you can speak, then you can hypnotize somebody. And so that follows on through. And as we go through during the course, further into the course, this is where I start encouraging them to start making their own, writing their own scripts, you know, working from the heart and all this kind of thing. I can never say the word intuitively. There you go.
Very good. Now, you are in a situation where you've qualified, and that's the time when the hurdle comes, because you've got to then settle down your mind and make a choice whether you're going to do something with your work or just continue to study, because there are a lot of people who just love studying all about hypnosis. And some people are not even bothered about practicing it. They just love knowing all about it. So the course would definitely appeal to somebody who was very interested in hypnosis and wanted to learn more about it. And they would learn from somebody who's been working with it for many years indeed. So now they have the qualification, how do they progress with their business? Would they initially work for very low fees? Or they indeed work for nothing. What is the course for them to now to take with their new business, Peter?
In module 10, we talk about how you're going to set up your practice now, what your fee should be, about advertising, putting yourself out there, getting yourself known, okay? So if you're just going to work from home, if you're just going to do it part-time, then obviously, it's up to you what you want to charge the people that are coming to see you. If you're going to set up a proper clinic or you're going to work out somebody else's clinic, then you have to make sure that you look professional right from the word go. Okay, this is where your practice has been coming in. It gives you the confidence so that you can set up your own practice. Okay, and then you can start to charge the full amount right at the beginning. Because that way it's going to build your confidence up a lot more rather than just hoping that you're going to get a few clients and maybe you might get some money. You know, so this is what I teach. This is the philosophy that I have. My grandmother once said to me, if you pay peanuts, you get monkeys. And that's always stuck in my mind. And so what I've always tried to portray to my students is don't be afraid to charge the going rate. And if you're not sure what that is, ring up other hypnotherapists and pretend you're a client and see what they charge.
So not only can we earn a good living, there are other benefits as well, Peter.
This is one of the the biggest things I found when I became a hypnotherapist was the freedom that I received from it. I became my own boss straight away, because as you know, I went into it full time straight away. So I became my own boss, so I didn't have to answer to anybody. The freedom it gave me is that I could work whatever hours I wanted. So if we had a holiday coming up, I could add more hours in, put more clients in. If I just wanted some time off, I could take 2 weeks off and without any problems whatsoever. It gave me more time to spend with my family, and my friends. And so I absolutely loved that. It was not a 9-to-5 job, you know, and it was just freedom for me. But at the same time, the rewards that you receive when you see somebody coming to you that is suffering from depression and their head's down and their shoulders are down and they're crying and shaking. And within 2 or 3 sessions, you know, they're completely different and they can go away and you know, live a happy life. That is more than gold in my book. It's more than the fee that they pay you.
Fantastic. Now, Peter, I know that this is a time-related podcast, so it's not really the best place to put prices because, you know, in a year's time, somebody can listen to it and they'll say, oh, well, the price has changed, and of course it will. So we won't talk about prices.
No, if they want to know the price, they can always go on the website.
And exactly.
All the fees are there. There's no hidden agendas or anything.
Excellent. So when will the course be available, fully ready to run?
Well, I'm hoping it's going to be ready sort of like the end of May, beginning of June time, 2020.
Great. And the reason that you're making this podcast with me is because you want people to become aware that it's being made, it's almost ready to roll, and now's the time to start thinking about it, start to talk to Peter about it and show some interest, to register some interest will be just the way to go.
It is. I'm sure you'll put my email details up at the end of this podcast. People can email me once I've got their information. As soon as it's up and running, I'll just drop them an email and say, go here, and this is where it is. And you can start whenever you like.
And just so that people know, the course is available worldwide, providing that you are English speaking. Obviously, it works worldwide. Is there a worldwide accreditation to it, Peter?
The National Council of Psychotherapy is worldwide. They have 2 sections. So you've got the National Council of Psychotherapy, the NCP, is UK-based. Then you have the International Council of Psychotherapy, which covers the rest of the world. And the NCP has members all around the world.
Excellent. So have no fear. Peter's here. Might be in England, but he's more than happy to sit and talk to you if anywhere in the world. Thank you very much indeed, Peter.
Thank you.